Hello and welcome to yet another episode of Cannibalizing the Canon. Ignore the extended period of time where we didn't release any episodes. I don't know what you're talking about. That's just an illusion. Yes, we're gaslighting you. Anyway, hi.
Hold up. We can't gaslight people.
We're That's not.
A dick move.
I don't. What are you talking about?
Are you gaslighting me right now?
I don't know what you're talking about.
God damn it.
Hi, I'm Glaive / Danny / the reason why we didn't make an episode for a few weeks.
And I am Rin / Fella / V / I genuinely forgot half of the names that go in this list. My brain was like spinning. Nope, it's not happening.
Three dogs in a trench coat.
Three dogs in a trench coat who feel like we're being gaslit right now, but also aren't that sure.
Anyway, speaking of chaos, we're going to talk today about the deck of many things.
Woo.
It is a magic item that you can get in the Dungeons and Dragons, the 5th edition, as well as previous editions as well, but we're talking about the 5th edition one, because I had a recent use of this item that I want to talk about, because I think it's a good idea. And would have DMs everywhere be like, alright, I'd use that. Because, lads, this deck, if you don't know...
this fucking deck.
If you don't know, if you, like, are completely, not ignorant, but, like...
Okay, right. If you are a listener of this podcast, and you have never heard of, if you've never heard of the Deck of Many Things in the context of Dungeons & Dragons... Can we trade places for, like, a day? Because, holy... I have never not known... Well, okay. This is a complicated story. I have never not been in the presence of a deck of many things.
Yeah.
In my entire life. And I mean this because I had a deck when I was younger. When I was a small V. A tiny little V. My stepdad had a bunch of, like... D&D stuff. He taught me how to paint minis. It was a very wholesome time. That's why I am the way that I am. Thanks, Daryl. genuinely, thank you, Daryl. You're the best. And there was this like small, like really little, like genuinely just not that many cards, small deck of like really nice printed art of these items that it kind of gave me like tarot card vibes, but I knew it wasn't tarot because, like, we lived in a house of science and tarot has no place there, you know? and I didn't know what they were, but the art was very, like...
Sorry, just to interrupt, but, like, the idea of, like, oh, I live in a house of science as if, like, oh, like, you're just casually reading a Bible and your parents burst in, like, what are you reading? I told you to...
No, I swear it was for research. No, but I will say the day that the Jehovah's Witnesses came to talk to us was a very funny day indeed. it would have been fine, but they decided to go with the angle of isn't God great on a molecular level, and we took that personally.
I had a Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door once, and my dad had to interrupt our conversation.
Amazing.
Because they were like, how can God make an eyeball? And I'm like, alright, hear me out. Here's how it works, alright? And then my dad, no, go away, bye. Like, okay.
My stepdad gave them some literature to read. Said if we have to read one of your books, you have to read one of ours. We had a spare copy of Darwin's, like, what is it? Evolution of Man? Theory of Man? Whichever it is. We have a spare copy. And so he gave it to them and said, come back in 2 weeks, we'll read this, you read that, we'll discuss. We'll make this a conversation. I'm interested in this. They never, ever, ever came back. I'm pretty sure we got blacklisted.
Oh, good.
I will say...
That's a good outcome. So.
This is great. I will say, I read their book, and I did... you made a joke, but I did have to do it on the sly because my mum was not impressed with the idea of me reading this book, and I did have to do it secretly. Secret religion. No.
Anyway, you had this deck.
So I had this deck, With gorgeous printed art on it. It looked like it was beautiful hand-drawn illustrations type thing. That was just around the sort of the Dungeons and Dragons paraphernalia. And I never stopped to ask what it was. I just thought they were pretty. Yeah. And they kind of inspired a lot of my writing as I grew up. Like just the visual elements of them just really kind of spoke to me. And then I lost them because I'm an idiot. And that's what happens when you move houses a lot and then go to university and then move again and then move again and then move again. Things get lost in the shuffle. It happens. And then I got into D&D properly. And somebody mentioned the Deck of Many Things and I looked it up and it was interesting and you know, various thousands of reprints of the Deck of Many Things over the years. The art's changed so much.
Yep.
But Wizards of the Coast had, I don't think they still have this. I think they took it down earlier in the year and I'm really, really salty about it. They had a little Deck of Many Things generator link on their website that wasn't on any of the main pages. Like, I only found it through Google, where you could click and it would draw a Deck of Many Things card for you. You know, because not everyone's going to have one, right?
Exactly.
And the art on this website was the same as the cards that I had when I was a kid. And I realized that I had been in the presence of a Deck of Many Things for most of my goddamn life. And I'm like, oh, shit. Since then, I have, in fact, repurchased. No, I didn't repurchase it. Someone purchased it for me.
Yeah.
The original artwork of the Deck of Many Things that I had years ago, and I have them, and they're beautiful. I'm pretty sure I've shown you them before, they're stunning. I love them.
So we should probably explain what the fuck this thing is.
This hugely like very important artifact. Clearly,
it's as important to D&D as beholders and mind flayers and mimics.
Yes, absolutely.
And dragons and dungeons, all of that. Deck of Many Things is one of those things, one of those items that, like, is inherently D&D. It's a fun thing. Players are terrified of it. It is a fun thing. If you're a DM, it's hilarious.
I will, as a DM, I will contest that, but we'll get into that when we get into the storytelling portion of this segment.
But basically, players dread it. They as soon as you mentioned that, oh yeah, there's a deck of cards, a lot of veteran players would be like, there's a fucking what? They would be like, ooh.
For those who follow popular media, there's a little show you may have heard of, we may have mentioned it before, called Critical Role.
We're going to have an episode one day where we don't mention them.
No, never. Campaign one, there is an episode where one of them finds a deck of cards and... I think it takes some of the players a hot second to realize, and the player who's got it doesn't know what it is.
No, most of the players don't know what it is. Most of them are just clueless because they're despite themselves, they're not like huge D&D nerds.
I think Taliesin.
Yeah, Taliesin definitely knew. Everyone else is like, they heard of it. They're like peripherally aware of it. They're like that. Oh. I don't know about it. And then meanwhile,
it was never explicitly said what it was. That was the thing.
Yeah.
Like Matt never explicitly said, this is what it is. And for ages, it wasn't identified. I don't know if it was ever actually officially identified.
No.
Travis had a lot of fun with that and then didn't have a lot of fun with that because that's what happens. If you want a good example of like, how the deck works in general, that is a very good visualization. That episode where Grog first explores it.
Sure. Yeah.
If you want episode numbers, fuck off. I don't know.
We don't know. We're not going to... Nope. Not even going to put it below.
This is where my shilling ends, all right?
Okay. So to explain the nitty-gritty details of it.
Yes.
The deck is a deck of... How many cards? 13?
No, I think 22. It comes in flavors.
Cards. There are 22 cards, but some of these only have 13. Most 76% of these decks only have 13 cards, apparently, according to the 5th edition.
I'm going to be real. I have never rolled for how many cards are in there. I have always just assumed it has the full amount.
Yeah, because that's more fun. And yes, you could argue that then you could go ahead and use... the 13 cards, because I'm pretty sure that's the one that would not have as big an effect on your campaign as the full amount. But also, where's the fun in that? So, right, the reason why we're talking about this is because I actually did use the deck of many things recently, and I realized, because it was very early in that game that I was running, I didn't want any players to lose their characters, because they're very attached to their characters, and they only just made them, and they're only just continuing to make them as time goes on. We don't want to immediately go ahead and just do something that's going to completely ruin that character for them forever.
100%.
That is an outcome for the deck of many things. You pull a card and an effect happens, and some of these effects can greatly enhance your character, and other effects will just might as well be death. One of them pretty much is death.
There's a couple where it's depending on what level you are, it is certain death.
Yeah.
It's a bad time. And a lot of the negative effects are very much a bad time, but with the first letters capitalized. Like, it is not... Here's the thing about the deck of many things for me is I don't know if the good outweighs the bad, and the risk and the chance of getting the good outweighs the bad.
Precisely why, with what I made up on the fly pretty much, like, no, this is an interesting way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having the effects be as they are and having players dealing with the bad consequences and having to, like, just deal with the campaign going forward after that, because it can mess with a lot of things. Instead, you alter the effects to suit what level your character are. Here's a metaphor. So, I had this conversation recently, because there's a new Pokemon game out. Trust me, this is relevant. There's a new Pokemon game out, and this Pokemon game, Scarlet and Violet, is open world.
Yes.
You can go wherever the fuck you want. Yeah? That's a bit different to the OG games, because in the OG games, you started in your starter town, you go to the next town, you keep going until you defeat all the gym leaders, and you defeat the main ones, and blah, 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 blah. The open world, you can just go wherever, and depending on where you go, the gym leaders do have a specific order.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you're not going to be able to defeat them. Like, you're not able to go to the last one first, because you're just going to get stomped.
Yeah.
You don't have the power. So,
even though the world itself is open world, it's still very much this is the linear path that you should be taking in terms of leveling up.
Exactly. That isn't the case in the lore, interestingly. And you can already see where I'm getting at with the deck of many things.
Yes.
With the gym leaders in the lore, supposedly, it doesn't matter where you start your journey. What matters is how many badges you have. So if you go to the last gym and you only have one badge, the gym leader is like, oh, that's cool, I'll take out my one badge set of Pokemon to fight you with.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, because not everyone lives in Pallet Town.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Imagine if, like, you were born and grew up in Cerulean City and you had to backtrack all the way to these fucking nowhere places. Like, nah, fuck that.
So, yeah, they match the skill to the Pokemon that they're facing.
Mm-hmm.
You can do this with the deck of many things as well by matching the threat to how high the level of the characters are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to tell your players you're doing this. You can just do this. Not all deck of many things are made equal. Wizards are probably making it all the time. There could be an underground organization just printing these cards. Just be like, yeah, but it'd be funny though. And not all of them are ruining the landscape as much as others.
I just love the idea of this small group of wizards, probably high off their tits, let's be real. Just going, yeah, but what if? Like, yeah, but we could though, couldn't we? Yeah, all right.
The deck of bootleg things.
Absolutely.
Let's go through the cards.
Okay.
Let us go through the cards, and I will also explain what I did when I felt that there needed to be what's the term I'm looking for? A debuff.
I will say I agree wholeheartedly that the deck of many things is not for every level.
Nope.
Straight up. So what level were your players, by the way, out of curiosity?
Two.
Yeah. I gave a full deck of many things to a level one group. And here's my problem with the deck of many things. Here's the negatives don't outweigh the positives, but the positives are so good that people will want to gamble.
Yes.
Because I gave this group of...
But this is why you don't tell them that you're debuffing the negatives.
Yes, no, but if I mean, this is what happens if you play it straight,
yeah,
as it were. I never play anything straight. Who am I kidding? Hey-o. Anyway, I gave them a deck of many things. The players knew what a deck of many things was.
Yep.
But they did not let that... Well, they did their best not to let that affect their character choices, because mm-hmm. their characters didn't know what a deck of many things were. And I was like, cool, okay, we'll go for it. The first player pulls a card.
Yep.
And this is the player who doesn't know what a deck of many things is out of character, and doesn't, and like is new to D&D, and I gave him a little leeway in terms of like the reading of the card specifically says you have X amount of time to make this choice. Yeah. And I gave him time to look up what the spell was before giving him that time.
Of course.
Because I'm not a dick. Anyway. so he pulled, I want to say it's the star?
The star increased one of your ability nope, scores.
It's not that one. It's the one that gives you 1d4 wishes.
Oh, yeah. That is, I believe... it is...
You're going to tell me it's the moon. You're going to tell me it's moon. It's
the moon.
Of course it's the moon. Damn it, moon.
1D3.
The moon's out here fucking me over every 5 minutes.
It's 1D3, not 1D4.
Is it 1D3?
Yeah.
Oh. I thought it was 1D4.
It is 1D3.
All right. Well, we did it as 1D4.
Okay.
And I rolled a 4.
Oh, no.
He has 4 minutes... because you have to decide in the 1D whatever minutes to decide what these wishes are going to be. He reads up the wish spell because he's never come across this before. This pure, sweet, innocent bean has picked mm-hmm. the worst card to get, because honestly, this is the card that broke the game.
Yeah.
And not because of the wishes, because what he did was very clever. He took 30 seconds, thought about it, looked something up on his phone and said, can I wish for my remaining 3 wishes to be put into a ring?
Ooh.
So that he could use them as a later date. And I said, yes, you clever son of a bitch. And I gave him a ring of 3 wishes. And then he put the deck down and said, I am never touching that again. That was the most stressed I've ever been in my life. Because he is a good player. And he understands that even though he pulled a very good card, the risk that came with that card is still not necessarily a good risk.
Yeah.
Because wish is a very, very difficult spell. Because it sounds like a dream come true, but it very much depends on how you phrase it.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the players saw that he had gotten arguably one of the best cards, arguably one of the worst cards, but here we go, and went hog fucking wild. Do you know how many cards they pulled?
I'm going to say 10.
20.
Oh my god.
20 cards. Because some cards go back into the deck. So some cards were pulled the maximum amount of times that a card can be pulled. And I'm going to be real. The positives did not outweigh the negatives.
No, they did
somehow,
not.
Somehow, we didn't pull that one notorious card.
We need to talk about the cards, V. Yes.
No, honestly, other than the fact they didn't pull that card, it wasn't a great time, but they all survived.
Right.
But right. I swore I would never, ever, 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 ever put a deck of many things into a campaign that low ever again.
Okay. So it's at this point I'm saying, if you're a player and you don't want to know what each card does and how you want to keep it surprised, stop listening now.
We'll catch you later. Love you. Bye.
If you're a DM, listen up. This is what everything does and what our opinion of it and some other things you could do.
You want to give it a rating out of 10?
No. So, okay. First card, balance. Your mind suffers a wrenching alteration, causing your alignment to change. Lawful becomes chaotic, good becomes evil, and vice versa. If you are true neutral or unaligned, this card has no effect on you.
Meh.
Meh.
Meh. Here's the thing. If you are playing a character, if you're playing in a campaign where alignment is important, that can be devastating. If you're playing a paladin, that can be devastating. If you're playing a cleric, it potentially could be devastating. Everyone else, eh.
Right, right. But you could spice it up.
Absolutely. I'm not saying like there isn't wiggle room here. The only time I've seen this be effective is the time that I played Jesus. And I pulled that card, and then I was evil Jesus.
So, all right. So here's my pitch for spicing it up a bit. Ignore alignment. Just ignore alignment. Assume that alignment doesn't exist for 5 seconds. Yeah.
Okay.
What is your player character's personality? Not alignment. Personality. Now think of what the opposite of that is, and do that.
Okay.
Because that's a different question than alignment.
Yes. I would suggest, however.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would not necessarily suggest this for every table, but for a table where player agency is highly valued by the player, for example, I would ask for this.
Yeah.
A wisdom saving roll. A high DC.
See, my argument but a wisdom saving roll. Is that
You drew your card from the deck, you suffer the consequences.
Exactly. But also, my very next sentence was going to be, it is the player's interpretation of what is the opposite, not anyone else's. They decide what that means to them. And it's as much or as little as they want to do that. Because at the end of the day, it's about having fun. And if what they think of the opposite isn't fun for them, they can have it so it is. If that makes sense.
Yes, but I feel like here's my problem with that is as we all know, I am here for fun. I love fun. Fun's great. But if you start saying, I don't want to get into a position where a player turns around and goes, well, this card isn't fun for me, so I'm going to pretend it never existed. And then they suffer no consequences?
Yeah.
I feel like there should be some consequences.
Yeah, I'm not this saying is ignore a, it. They still
this
need
is
to
a big
stay...
item.
Yeah.
And going, well, I'm kind of I'm a happy-go-lucky person, so maybe I don't whistle anymore. Is not really a personality alignment change for me, you know?
No, exactly. There is a discussion to be had. It is dependent on your table, basically.
Absolutely. But yeah,
by its very nature, balance is a card that has its own problems because not everyone plays with alignment. Not
yeah, absolutely. I do not
this
think...
Is...
that balance is a card that fits anymore.
No, but it can. And again, it depends. Your mileage may vary. This is an important thing about the Deck of Many Things. It is a relic.
Literally.
From a bygone era.
Literally.
There are things in that deck that are in that deck, not because it's good or bad, but because it was in the deck in earlier editions.
Because it has always been in the deck.
It serves the same function as the adventuring gear page in the player's handbook.
Holy
I'm
shit,
right.
Yes. You are right, damn. You're right, but it's such a savage burn to that page.
Because you look at that page and you're like, what the fuck is all this stuff? Do I use this stuff?
Do I need any of this stuff?
No, you don't.
Why am I spending money on this stuff?
Because it was in earlier versions. That 10-foot pole, it's only because I've told all you fuckers what a 10-foot pole is useful for. You look at that before and you're like, I don't understand why we need this pole.
I will say, again, your mileage may vary. There are campaigns that are very heavy on you can't do the thing unless you have the kit to do it.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Like, you have to count out rations and you have
all
to...
That,
encumbrance is a rule.
Page,
who uses encumbrance? Some people do, not me.
The adventuring gear page is 100% used for dungeoneering.
Yes.
It's assuming that
it's
you're
the
doing
dungeon bar.
In the Dungeons and Dragons. It's the same with balance. It's assuming you're using alignment and that the alignment change has an influence on your character. The point of it is literally, hey, your character has had a substantial change. What does that mean?
Yes.
I would also argue it would be fun because, and this is me, it's because it's me, have it reality alter, not mind alter.
So, would you have it that it makes it so that you have always been perceived as that way?
This requires a conversation.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to wrench someone's backstory from them, but it would be fun if you're like, yeah, no, what you, so let's say for like, okay, because we can't keep talking about balance all day, this might become a two-parter. So it might be fun if you're playing a holy cleric,
yes,
that is like lawful good all day every day, and you're like, yep, I help everybody, I'm the goodest of the goody goods, blah 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 blah,
I am a good boy.
Yeah, and you bring out balance, and balance is like, nope, flip the coin. You've just been flipped. Wouldn't it also be fun? Have it? I think it'd be important for the party to not be affected by the reality alteration,
yeah,
but everyone
absolutely
else is, just by virtue of being present for the drawing of the card.
Yes.
So that, hey, let's go back to that monastery that the cleric belongs to because they helped us out before, and all of a sudden they're completely different because reality has twisted to fit in the new reality of this cleric being a lot darker and being not necessarily evil, but
I love the idea of people not trusting that god as much because
yeah,
that's been changed. I love exactly that idea of like, it's not necessarily the goody goody two shoes god you thought,
because what we're looking for, because maybe this deck is fucking ridiculously powerful that I can even change a god. That's terrifying.
Dun, 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 dun.
What we're looking for is what makes this fun. And I think that, to me, that is fun. It might not be fun to you. You can do what you want to do.
Yeah, again, mileage may vary.
Let's move on to the next card.
Yeah, let's go.
Comet.
Oh, such a pretty card.
If you single-handedly defeat the next hostile monster or a group of monsters you encounter, you gain experience points enough to gain one level. Otherwise, this card has no effect. I disagree with this card's existence.
Is it because it uses experience points? Because
it's because it uses experience points, and also because it gives a player a level up as a reward. And that can get messy, because
yes,
I don't like my party members having different levels to each other.
Yes.
That can be a pain in the ass.
I don't necessarily disagree with the sentiment, but having a player be a level up or down on everyone else can sometimes narratively be very interesting.
It can be.
But that's not what we're talking about right now.
We're not talking about that. And also, it has the opposite, like, uninteresting result of, oh, okay, the paladin, because the person who plays the paladin, this is definitely not based on real events, is like has attended every session, so levels up faster because we're using experience points.
Well, I mean, there's a really obvious answer to that, which is don't use experience points, but
exactly,
that's just me.
Yeah. But
again,
in that
mileage
case,
may vary.
It is a case of, well, now the paladin is far more powerful because the class is far more powerful in general.
Yeah.
Than all the other players, and could probably single-handedly defeat most monsters.
Yes.
And the rest of the party is just sitting on the sidelines going, well, what the fuck do we do? And this can happen to many classes. It can happen to rogues, this can happen to bards, this can happen to clerics, barbarians. It power creep is a thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what I would do to change Comet.
Give it to the entire party, but it's still a single-handed thing.
Yes,
it is, but still very much it has to be single combat.
Yeah,
whether that means you can't, like, I would argue that that doesn't mean that you can't be buffed by your party,
healed
by your party. They cannot help you in the combat aspect, but they can help you in other ways.
Yeah, because that is difficult in itself.
And I would argue that it doesn't necessarily have to be the person who drew the card who does single combat.
Yeah,
because again, if you have the rogue pull the single card, a single combat card, that's going to be a bad time.
Yeah. Poor ranger.
True that. But have it so that it benefits. It's more of a group effort card in the sense that, yes, it is one person doing the legwork, but everyone else can assist, and then everyone gets the benefit.
100%. Next card, Donjon.
Donjon.
This is the first one that I think is a, That's a danger card, because, well, your player's character's gone now. Donjon. You disappear and become entombed in a state of suspended animation in an extra-dimensional sphere. everything you were wearing and carrying stays behind in the space you occupied when you disappeared. You remain imprisoned until you are found and removed from the sphere. You cannot be located by any divination magic, but a wish spell can reveal the location of your prison. You draw no more cards.
Wait, that's Dungeon?
That is Dungeon.
Because I had never read Dungeon like that. Where am I reading my cards from?
I have no idea. You are in a sphere somewhere, and the players have to go find you.
To me, it's never been specifically you are in a sphere. It is that you are imprisoned in a dungeon somewhere else, and that it is difficult to locate you, but not specifically, you're in a ball. Get wrecked. You know? Deck of... I'm now looking for my deck of anythings.
Right. Okay. Yeah. See, any card that just outright kills or removes the player character from the game, I'm going to have a problem with if it's early on in the campaign. Because suddenly, hey, this character that I've invested time in making, I can't play anymore because they've basically been taken off me. And it's like, oh, okay. Ooh. So the obvious solution is just take the card out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't play it. Don't include it in your deck. Have it so that the players can't have that one. I think a way of going around this, and this is for those of you who have listened to the anniversary special, you know where I'm going with this. Instead of Donjon stealing you as a player character, it instead steals either someone important to you, an NPC, or something important to you, be it an item or an ability. Not necessarily like, not, I'm not talking about mechanical abilities. I'm talking about like the ability to play the lute. Have you discovered where your deck is?
Even better, I have found the generator using the Wayback Machine.
Perfect.
The problem is the Wayback Machine
doesn't have all the cards.
Bar. Oh, it's in the way. There we go. Ah, yeah. Okay. So the reason that I have different descriptions is because the original cards had different descriptions.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the description I went off is, this card signifies imprisonment, either by the imprisonment spell or by some powerful being. All gear and spells are stripped from the victim. In any case, draw no more cards. So there's nothing in there about you can't be found through powerful magic. There's nothing in there about you're in a ball. It's basically you are locked up somewhere and you don't have your stuff. And that's it.
Yeah.
Which is, okay. This now makes a lot more sense to me because I'm like, these cards sound fucking weird compared to the ones that I've been running. I feel better. I will say balance used to be a lot worse. Because balance used to be, if you fail to act according to the new alignment, you gain a negative level.
Oh, fuck.
So.
That's some old school.
It's bad time. Bad time.
Nonsense. But
Yeah. Absolutely. Like this. Bear in mind, the deck of many things goes back to a long time ago. So.
In the before times.
But yes. I agree that Dungeon is a game breaking mechanic, because it does just, you are gone, and it's like, oh great, so I'm just not playing now, huh? Cool. Yeah. Great. Awesome.
But you could take something,
taking something that you love or someone that you love and imprisoning that's just a quest line, baby.
Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like in another dimension, impossible to reach. You can have it like, so okay, here's my pitch. So there's an episode of Star Trek.
All right, okay, let's go.
There's an episode of the original series of Star Trek where Kirk gets split in two.
As you do.
There's like the good side, and there's the evil side. This trope has been reused in many media.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think Star Trek were the first ones to do it, not counting Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
The original.
But they weren't split into two people. They were split, you know what I mean, like,
look, all Star Trek did, and I hate myself for saying this, but I'm playing devil's advocate, all Star Trek did was the Jekyll and Hyde story, but with extra science to make it two separate people.
Right. two separate people. But that's the point. It was a transporter accident as well, by the way.
Of course it was. Of course it was. When so, isn't it?
Would it be interesting? And I don't. It does, again, this doesn't have to be alignment. This doesn't have to be a personality. It could be whatever you think is interesting to the players. Have an aspect of that player imprisoned away. And so that it isn't a rest of the campaign thing, it's not a permanent thing, when the card is drawn, when that aspect is stolen from the player, so the player has to play in a new interesting way, have it so that they can see the ball in the sky like a shooting star shoot across in a direction. So that the player characters, all the party can be like, oh, I think I know what happened. We should follow that.
We should go in that direction to fix it, yeah.
Yeah. Because then it's a fun thing that they you only have to spend a few sessions on.
You've also got the option of going, I know this is important to you, but right now we have this time-sensitive quest, so we've got to do that first.
Yeah.
So it's something that you can come back to if needed. It's not like, oh god, I need to fix this right now.
Like everything, it's a conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the deck of many things is a conversation. Regardless of what you draw, it's a conversation.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Next
Uriel. Up. Uriel.
Ah, Uriel.
The card's Medusa-like visage curses you. You have a -2 penalty on saving throws. While cursed in this way, only a god or the magic of the Fates card can end this curse.
I'm sorry, did you say -2?
What does yours say?
-1!
That's amazing. That's hilarious.
I have been working from a much nicer deck. This is fascinating to me. This one's rough. This one's rough because it has very long-term consequences.
Yep. Especially if you're low level.
Yeah, absolutely. This can really just absolutely dick you over if you're low level. First instinct in changing this is to, instead of all saving throws, one saving throw.
I have a much funner way of changing
it.
Oh god, here we go.
Oh god. Here's me trying to be practical, and here's Danny with the fun stuff that everyone loves. I really am the sensible parent that you have to call.
My argument is have them cursed, just not mechanically. Change the curse.
Yeah, but then I would argue that that only works if you're playing a narrative game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're not playing a narrative
game... you're playing a much more mechanical game,
yeah,
then you can do the one like saving throw minus on. You can do that penalty. That works too.
Yeah.
If you are playing a narrative game...
You have to remember, Danny, not everyone plays the way we do.
Yeah. I do remember that. But my point being, though, is that if you can change the curse so that, again, it's something that the players can fix. It is not determined by the will of a god or the magic of the Fates card. Take that bullshit away if you're low level.
I would make an argument, not necessarily for the Fates or a god, but somebody with power.
Exactly. You have to go solve it. You have to fix it, but it's not as easy as just going to your local temple and be like, yo, fix it.
Or maybe it is, but there's a cost.
Yeah.
I scratch your back, you scratch mine type thing.
Exactly. You could have it so, like, the curse is dependent on the player.
I would assume it would be anyway.
Exactly.
Because cursing a bard and cursing a wizard are two very different things.
Exactly, yeah. You gotta be poetically justice.
And if you are doing it mechanically, again, the saving throw that you choose to put the penalty to very much depends
on
because there's no point. There's absolutely no point in slapping a -1 to strength saving throws for a wizard.
No.
Oh no, what a shame. That stat that is already my dump stat is fucking even more of a dump stat. What a shame. But equally, I don't know how, again, it depends on your table. Mileage may vary. I don't know how comfortable I would be if one of my players was a wizard and I smacked a minus one onto their intelligence saving throws.
Yeah.
Just feel like it's a bit of a dick move, you know? But again, they drew the card. So, you know, is what it is. What's next?
I have some more thoughts on Uriel, but
oh.
I feel like that I could do an entire episode on creative curses.
I feel like curses in general is a whole other thing.
Yeah, like there's all sorts of nonsense that you can do to your players that absolutely is going to end their character or
do
make
you
it more
do you want to really fuck up your characters without actually harming them?
Exactly.
Here's Danny.
Hi. Speaking
that's
of
definitely gonna be an episode.
Speaking of fucking up your characters and trying to have a way of fixing it, the Fates.
The Fates.
Reality's fabric unravels and spins anew, allowing you to avoid or erase one event as if it never happened. You can use the card's magic as soon as you draw the card or any other time before you die. What's interesting about this is that, according to the text right here, it doesn't say that the event has to be one that has just happened. Reality's fabric unravels and spins anew, allowing you to avoid or erase one event as if it never happened.
Yes, absolutely. The wording of that is not that this is a thing that needs to have immediately happened. This can be something buried deep in your past. Is that the entire wording of the card that you have?
You can use the card's magic as soon as you draw the card or any other time before you die.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear my card?
Oh, give me your card.
Because my card has a couple of other things in there just for spice.
Sure.
This card enables the character to avoid even an instantaneous occurrence if so desired, for the fabric of reality is unraveled and respun. They reuse that bit for good reason. It's great, great phrasing. Note that it does not enable something to happen. It can only stop something from happening or reverse a past occurrence. The reversal is only for the character who drew the card. Other party members may have to endure the situation.
Oh. Well, that's more like a fireball is hitting you and you're about to die.
Yeah, that's exactly the example I was going to use. I have never seen anyone draw this card.
No.
So I don't know how effective this is.
I have seen someone draw this card, hilariously, and I was using the deck and I wasn't nerfing the deck. So what happened was the party was drawing all these cards. One player drew the Fates. And another player drew some other card that we're going to mention in a bit that was bad.
Oh, I see.
Going to kill them.
That is a very good use of the Fates card.
And so the other player reluctantly used the Fates card to reverse.
Yeah, in fairness, absolutely reluctantly, because that's a get out of jail free card.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's honestly, like, they made I would it so, be so mad.
The player never drew any cards.
Yes, that's very good. That's very good use of that card. It does feel like an Uno reverse card on the DM.
Yeah, 100%.
In fact, if I ever use this, I will bring an Uno reverse card to give to the player to keep.
I have no problems with the Fates. I like it as is. That's great. I like the idea of allowing the reversal of past events. But also, I would be a dick about it in terms of past events. Oh. In terms of, like, you want to change the past, be careful of what you
absolutely
want to change.
It's the same energy as a wish.
Exactly.
It's the same energy. It is very much, you be careful what you ask for.
Yeah. If you're reversing something that's happening at the time that's about to happen, that's a lot easier because the consequences haven't happened yet. If you're altering something that's already happened, that's an entirely different kettle of fish. And reality could fall upon itself.
Absolutely. I've just realized there is a decision in my world, in my homebrew world, that if somebody got their hands on this card and used it on that decision, I would be utterly destroyed as a DM because I would have to rewrite every single piece of history.
Yep.
And the problem is they'd fucking do it. Anyway, yeah, I like the Fates. It's one of the few cards that I'm okay with.
Yeah, just counting. All right, next one. Flames.
Flames on the side of my face.
A powerful devil becomes your enemy. The devil seeks your ruin and plagues your life, savoring your suffering before attempting to slay you. This enmity lasts until either you or the devil dies.
Huh.
What does yours say?
Hot anger, jealousy, and envy are but a few of the possible motivational forces for the enmity. The enmity of the outsider cannot be ended until one of the parties has been slain. Determine the outsider randomly and assume that it attacks the player or plagues their life in some way within 1d20 days. It's not a devil specifically. It can be anyone.
That's interesting.
And I will say, I have had this card drawn and I have made an NPC turn on them.
Yeah. There's another card that does that in this deck.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Yeah. I think because this is one of those, it could be anyone, it doesn't have to be someone they've met.
Yeah.
But I specifically chose an NPC because I was pissed off at them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can. Also, this is a little side note, but so the generator that Wizards had up, which got taken down in April, I discovered, which I'm very sad about. I'm going to bookmark all of this information and re-download it for myself. Always refers to the player as her.
Interesting.
Right? I love it. It's cute. Anyway.
Anyway.
How do you feel about flames?
I like it. It doesn't specify, it says powerful devil, but like you could match that to
just as necessary, basically.
I like the idea of there being some kind of actual visual signifier as to this happening, and the player is not realizing exactly what that is until it actually becomes a problem. Much like Berserk, there's like a mark on the neck or something that they're like, what the fuck is that? Like, I don't know, it burns. It's, oh no, it's burning more. Oh no, there's a horned individual coming towards us.
I'm an absolute fucking slut for markers on people's bodies that indicate something has happened to them and they don't know what it is. I love that shit. I am all about random strange tattoos appearing on you and you going, what the fuck is this? And then not finding out for like 20 sessions. I love that shit. I want that energy. Let's go. It's great.
You could also argue that a powerful devil hating you doesn't mean that. Yeah.
It wants to kill you.
Yeah. The devil seeks your ruin and plagues your life, savoring your suffering before attempting to slay you. It's not necessarily trying to kill you off the bat.
100%. I am very much here for the energy of plagues their life in some way, because that could be anything. That could be going after your family. That could be going after the small business that you set up. That could be just like making sure you wake up feeling like itchy and hot every morning.
Yep. Suddenly everything that could go wrong does go wrong.
Yes, absolutely.
All the time for that character. Like,
just having a bad time all of the time. Yeah.
It's like, oh man, all this bad luck that suddenly just started to occur when you drew this card.
Yes.
It's interesting. Yeah, I have no problems with the devil, the flames card, because you can alter that very easily to match whatever the player is. It's not necessarily a ruin the game card. Speaking of ruin the game cards, the fool, you lose 10,000 XP. I hate XP cards. Discard this card and draw from the deck again, counting both draws as one of your declared draws. If losing that much XP would cause you to lose a level, you instead lose an amount that leaves you with just enough XP to keep your level. Which is redundant and silly. The Fool is a card that I would entirely rewrite.
Yep.
What does your Fool say?
Oh, the only difference is the payment of XP and the redraw are mandatory. This card is always discarded when drawn, unlike all others except the Jester.
Okay.
But we'll get to that.
I think that the Fool, I would keep the draw again.
Yep.
Because
that is a foolish choice.
That is a foolish choice. I need to think for a second. What would be like an actual foolish outcome for player characters? Like, what would, because the easy answer to be would be like, oh, your wisdom save is gonna go hit the can. But that's mean if you're playing specific classes to be like, yes. Oh yeah, you're a cleric. Have fun with that.
I mean, you could make it a temporary thing.
Yeah, but I think there's more fun ways of doing it that doesn't require mechanical upheaval.
True.
But
then, again, then people who are playing a more mechanical outset don't really have to worry about drawing this card.
No, but losing a level has...
Oh, I don't agree with... I absolutely don't agree with losing a level. I don't think there should be... I think it should be very exceptional circumstances in a game and agreed upon with the player for a player to lose a level in any game.
Yeah.
I do not think it should be up to chance. I think it should be the conclusion or part of a story that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And again, agreed on by the player, because it's kind of a dick move to fucking take a level away. But in some senses, narratively, it can make sense. But it has to be narrative, and it can't just be, oh, I drew a card and now I'm shit.
Exactly. That's no fun.
Exactly. Other than drawing another card, because like that's a stupid thing to do. We all know that's a stupid thing to do. But there has to be something else, because otherwise this is just making you draw another card.
Here is an idea, and I'm not 100% behind it. This is just something I'm making up right now. And like, you don't 100%, you don't gotta do this.
I mean, let's be real, you don't have to do any of the things that we
said. You don't have to do anything, but like, I'm not saying this is the correct answer. Not that any of this is any correct answers. But who be the biggest fool than the fool who is in love? See what I mean?
Yeah.
See what I mean? That's why I'm tentative about it. That's why I'm like...
Look. Here's the thing. I am the biggest advocate for playing romance in D&D. I fucking love... I eat that shit up with a spoon. Give me that. It's great. I don't like this.
Let me make my argument.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just telling you straight off the bat, I don't like this one.
Make my argument, even though that I'm also probably on the same page as to why I'm reluctant to do this.
Yes.
Devil's advocate here. We're not talking about the flames card. The fool card doesn't have... Okay, let's talk about affection for a second, yeah? It doesn't have to be affection as people would go to straight away.
It doesn't have to be, oh, I want to bang that.
Exactly.
And I agree. I'm not looking at it like that because, hi, hello, I mean. Even as just even if it's platonic affection,
I'm not even talking about necessarily people.
You want to make things. The druid a literal sheep shagger?
No.
What the fuck is wrong with
you? No. How dare you put words in my mouth? I'm not talking about...
I'm just being a dick. Hi, hello.
Yeah, no. Suddenly...
What you're suggesting is blind loyalty.
No. I'm not even suggesting that. I'm suggesting... Because I'm formulating it as we talk. So let's say, you're a fighter. And you drew the fool card, yeah?
Yes.
All of a sudden, you are now foolishly invested. Let's use that word instead of in love. Invested in, finding the Holy Grail. Or finding, whatever the fuck. Something that's an adventure hook that isn't just...
Right.
Fate.
Yeah. That's okay. That's that. Yeah. Okay. This is
a
this
foolish
is,
endeavor. A Don Quixote kind of thing.
Yes,
is what I'm
this,
getting
okay,
more at.
I see. Okay.
You get what I'm laying down here.
I understand what you're laying down now. This is several mind cogs away from what you originally.
I know.
Said.
I was having.
You were processing. That's absolutely fine. Okay. So it being that I would suggest in that case that there is a list of. Suggested possible foolish endeavors because I think it's kind of a dick move to go to the GM. Oh, you've immediately got to think of one right now.
No, of course not. And I think there should be. I even argue you should give the GM time to come up with something.
Absolutely. I you could say that you have this, you feel this sensation in your chest of a desire to do something, but it doesn't make any sense to you yet. And then potentially the next time they fall asleep, they have a dream about it?
Yeah. or something like that.
Something like that, you know.
Makes the full way more fun. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yes. Yeah, more fun, less dumb, you know?
Yeah. Next card, I don't have a lot to say about. Gem. 25 pieces of jewelry worth 2,000 gold pieces each, or 50 gems worth 1,000 gold pieces each, appear at your feet. I mean, yeah, neat.
Sure, you get a bunch of money. It's great.
Wealth. I can't fix that.
No. I mean, it's not a lot to fix. It's just, here's some money. Go get yourself something pretty with these pretty things.
Yeah, the more narrative game, you could have, instead of wealth, you could do class. You could have it so, yeah, hey, you're royal now. Have fun with that.
Okay. All right. Okay. So the definition of wealth is dependent on what the player values.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because what if to them, wealth is not money. Wealth is not fame. Wealth is, I don't know, fucking family. I don't know. It's Fast and Furious. You know what I mean? Like, it could be something less physically tangible.
Yeah, exactly. It's something else that adds like another layer of like, actually that's more interesting than just a bunch of gems that fall to your feet.
Yeah.
You're gonna have a hard time spending anyway, because the adventuring gear page is set for second edition.
Although the cleric is immediately gonna root through that bag of gems and go, are any of these diamonds?
Exactly.
Please. Yeah. We need some. Stop dying. Yeah, I like the idea, because again, that kind of leads into more of a conversation of what does wealth and success look like to you as a character.
Exactly.
I'm here for that energy.
The card following that is idiot.
You may be like, oh, well, we had the fool already. Different kind of stupidity, friends.
Permanently reduce your intelligence by 1d4 plus 1 to a minimum score of 1. You can draw one additional card beyond your declared draws. You can draw.
Specifically on my side, it says the additional draw is optional.
Yeah. So, I don't like this one.
It's rough.
Because if you're a wizard,
it's rough.
You're kind of fucked.
You could lose up to 5 points of intelligence, depending on how you roll. And that's rough.
Yeah, no. I would treat this similarly to how what we did with Fool, and have it instead be more of another adventure hook type thing.
Something that is okay. Here's how do we mark the difference between a foolish endeavor and something stupid? Is the question.
Stupid.
Because that's what this is. This is intelligence loss, not wisdom loss.
Yeah.
So it has to be something that is inherently unsmart. Investing in Electrum, because we all know Electrum is cryptocurrency.
Oh Electrum,
I'm still mad about it anyway. It would be, for me, I would find it difficult to differentiate between an endeavor that is
foolish
and an endeavor that is just downright
stupid. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be an endeavor, because so, like, you can see with the Fool, it's like very Don Quixote.
Yes.
That's the kind of vibe we're going for.
Absolutely.
With Idiot.
Are we suggesting Monty Python?
No, because Monty Python's more absurdism than it is just stupid.
Did you just do not even mention absurdism? Do not even mention absurdism to me right now. I'm not in a good place because of that.
I'm right. Anyway.
You were right, and I'm mad about it.
Have you, Rin, ever played Fallout?
I have not played Fallout, but I have observed others playing Fallout.
Okay.
A lot of the main beats, the story.
You ever heard of the Wild Wasteland perk?
No.
Right. In Fallout New Vegas, there is an option to take on the Wild Wasteland. It is a beginning perk that you can't take later on in the game. It's just something that they added because the developers added some stupid, silly shit in the game, and it's optional if you want that in your game or not. What if that was the idiot card? And suddenly, a lot of stupid shit happens to you. Not that you become stupid, but
But the idiocy happens around you.
Exactly. So it's not, it's similar to how, when we talk about the flames, how suddenly all this bad luck happens, except with the idiot card, it's a lot more like, there's a banana peel on the floor.
Is it, okay, here's my question.
Uh-huh.
Because obviously this is going to have repercussions that affect your party.
Yeah.
Because they are going to be around you and witnessing a lot of this.
Yep.
Is this going to affect them in terms of, for example, are they going to have to make certain things with disadvantage?
No, because all of the things that happen, like I said, what you don't just be like, if a player, you're not like making your characters roll randomly throughout the day in terms of like, oh, suddenly there's a banana in the hallway. You slip on it because you roll for whatever.
It's more that there is a banana in the hallway. That opportunity is there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, okay. I know that it's specifically because you use the banana peel, but that feels like absurdism and I'm not having it.
That's what we're going for.
we're just fully leaning into the absurdness. All right. So when I say Monty Python, that's too much. But when you suggested it's fine.
Right. But there's a difference. Because we weren't talking about doing this when we were talking about Monty Python.
So if I say Monty Python now, that's fine.
Yes.
Oh my god. The audacity. No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I'm fine. This is fine. Okay. So it's just... Okay, so then... So how long does that last and how do you stop it is the question.
It's a curse. You stop
it. It's a curse! Oh my god!
You have to, like, reverse it like you'd reverse anything
it's
else.
It's the curse of shenanigans. How dare you?
The curse of shenanigans. 100%.
I now want a cleric spell that is literally like a 7th level spell that's just called Reverse Shenanigans.
I cast Shenanigans.
I cast Shenanigans or I cast Reverse Shenanigans to heal someone of a shenanigans curse. Okay, I'm kind of into that.
You could also, if they're a caster, you could also do things with flavor their spells to be a bit more silly.
Absolutely. Like flavor it so they wake up and their magic, like if they have a wand specifically, it looks like a traditional magician's wand.
Yeah.
It like functions exactly the same. It's just the physical appearance has changed.
Yeah. Yeah. Flavor for days.
They wake up one day and their cloak has changed into one of those fucking ringleaders. Coats with tails and shit. Fucking flavor that. Just again, no like changes to how it actually works. Just visually, they start to look like a ringmaster. I just want that energy, you know? Yeah, they start hearing that in the background everywhere they go.
So next one is Jester.
Jester.
You gain 10,000 XP or you can draw 2 additional cards beyond your declared draws.
Yeah. This card is always discarded when drawn, unlike all others except the Fool, which we discussed earlier. The redraws are optional.
See, now, that makes Jester more difficult to fix because you've just done all that nonsense with Idiot. Although, you could argue that you could do the similar thing with Jester as the Idiot, except it's a positive instead of a negative.
Explain.
So it's a boon instead of a curse. So
Banana peels are underneath your enemy's feet.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you gain the 10,000 XP. You don't lose it.
You cast shenanigans.
You cast shenanigans.
Okay.
Suddenly, you don't do anything that's like game breaking, but you could even like argue like if you want to make it mechanical, you could have your player be like, I have 1 point of shenanigan that I can do once per session. That at any point I'd be like, I want shenanigans. And they're like, all right, cool, yeah. This happens.
Okay. I quite like shenanigans as a mechanic. I'm going to be real. Having a point of shenanigans is very good.
Yeah.
I like the... Ooh. Okay, I think I would like to explore shenanigans at a later date.
Yeah, we'll have a whole episode about shenanigans.
Every episode is about shenanigans. Who are we getting?
Make a note of that. Write that down. As well as an episode on curses and...
Why am I having to write the notes?
Because this is my episode. Right. I'm driving this episode. Okay, so next one. I assume Jester is the same on your cards.
Yeah.
Key. A rare or rarer magic item with which you are proficient appears in your hand. The DM chooses the weapon. The only thing I change about this is I would argue it doesn't have to be a weapon.
Yes. The problem is that's getting into the territory of another card.
Fair enough.
I think I kind of agree with not making it a weapon, not making it have to be a weapon even, because, for example, what's a bard going to do with, you know,
a sword,
another sword? I already have a sword. I don't need another sword. But equally, it doesn't necessarily have to. I would disagree with it having to be one that the character can use, mm-hmm. because you might be able to kit out someone else in the party.
Mm. Yeah, it's, again, it's a conversation. It's yeah. Like there's a lot of leeway with that card that I don't think it needs to be fixed.
Absolutely.
The DM can do whatever the heck they want, and it's up to them what consequences happen after.
Yes.
The one after that is the knight.
Oh, I have a story about a knight.
You gain the service of a fourth level fighter who appears in a space you choose within 30 feet of you. The fighter is of the same race as you and serves you loyally until death. Believing the fates have drawn him or her to you, you control this character.
The only difference in the older deck of many things is that he or she is of the same race or kind and gender as the character.
Huh.
Which is a bit of a wild one, but, you know, potato, potato. I would argue it doesn't necessarily have to be the same anything.
Yeah.
But that's just me. So I had a character draw this as part of the Summer Games. Which you have played yourself.
I have.
It's a grand old time. And so going into the rest of the campaign with a fourth level fighter was kind of cool. They were all level 6-7 at the time. Yeah. So he was a little out of his depth, to say the least. And he didn't know where he'd come from. He didn't remember anything about his previous life. He just existed. So we had a lot of existential crisis moments, which was quite entertaining. And then he got one-shot murdered.
Oh, fuck.
Because he was level 4. Yeah. And they went up against something that was too powerful for them at level 7. So now he's a bag of dust in... He's a bag of dust that's being carried around because the player who drew him feels a sense of, like, duty and obligation because, like, you know, it's their fault that he even existed, so... Good old Sir Jeff.
So I have a pitch for this one.
Go on.
And I think this is the last one we're going to do, and then we'll leave the rest for part two.
Mm-hmm.
I have a part two to this episode, going through the rest of the cards. Because I feel like if we start talking about the next one now, which is the moon, we're going to be here all day.
Boy, howdy, do I have some opinions on that
one. So the knight. So there's an episode of Doctor Who.
Yes.
Do you know what episode I'm thinking of, Ren? I'm curious.
Because
I don't think you'll get where I'm going with
this. Continue where you're going, and we'll see if I get there.
So there is an episode of Doctor Who with the 10th Doctor, and he's hanging out with his companions, Martha and Donna.
This is not where I thought it was going. I thought this was going to be Dr. Moon.
Remind me of Dr. Moon.
The library.
Oh, no. No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. All
this right. This is when they go to a planet. I think it's a planet. It's unclear. And it's been a hot minute as well. And they discover that there are two factions at war with each other.
Yes.
And that.
Yes.
Doctor puts his hand in a thing.
Yes. And then suddenly there's a girl.
And suddenly there's a girl who is half Time Lord.
Yes.
Which is interesting. What if that's how the fighter worked?
Okay. What All right, if okay. Hold
the
on,
knight
into it.
That appears is, it uses the... So it's taking in what the sentence says about it. Is
it's
the
essentially,
same race
yeah, it's essentially
that.
A clone, but not. It's jumbled up all the DNA, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's what happens
it's
in the
game. Who the player character is and makes a new character that works with them.
Yes.
Which is interesting. There's all sorts of roleplay stuff you can do.
Absolutely. I will say one of the downsides of the knight as written is that the player specifically has control over the character.
Right. Yeah.
Because I agree in certain situations, especially as a DM who probably has too many NPCs, you don't want to be running a DMPC, which is essentially what that character is now going to be.
Yeah.
But narratively, I think it makes more sense for someone else to have control of that character.
As in one of the other players?
As in not that player.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And there's, you could have one of the other players control that character.
Oh, absolutely. It's not like, that could be a very interesting way of introducing someone to the game.
Yeah, if that's the way you're going. Or just have another player do the knight, because the knight isn't going to be as complicated as other player characters. They level up.
True.
Most fighters are going to be, I cast slash.
I hit things. I do another hit. Do it again. But no, it's an option. If you have somebody who wants to come and join the table, who's new to the game or has expressed interest in a more martial based class,
yeah, that's an option.
It's an option.
It's the same energy as having a familiar and having someone who isn't actually playing play that familiar, which is also always fun.
Thank you, Sid. I love you, Sid. It's genuinely still hands down the funniest moment that's ever happened to me in a D&D game. I send my familiar into the cave and use the vision that I have to look through my familiar's eyes. And the guy playing the familiar goes, I look up at the ceiling and walk forward. Just to dick him over. I was just like, mwah, chef's keys. Sir, you can stay at this table.
So, we've still got a whole other half to go through of cards.
Hell yeah, I'm excited. I'm into it.
We're going to end the episode here. We'll be back. Two next week.
We definitely will be next week, by the way, guys.
Yeah.
I know we said that last time, and then we fell into a black
hole. We're fully, like, functional right now. Everything's running. We're good.
Everything's running arguably a lot better than it was last time.
Yeah, true.
It's grand old time.
But as for now, we still have all of our links. We have a Ko-fi still, if you're interested in...
Fun fact, there's going to be bonus content on before the end of the year. And I say this with the brazen confidence because it is currently December. And
yep.
I have therefore left very little time. But I have the first installment of a new bonus content only exclusive series coming up. And my co-host for that is now available to record with me.
Heck yeah.
So, yeah. So that's the first part will hopefully be up before the end of the year.
Nice. So check that out.
Check that out. Also, to the people who have already given us money without any extra bonus content, I love you all, but what is wrong with you? In the nicest possible way, what is wrong with you? But also, we love you and thank you for supporting us, you absolute mad beans.
Bunch of mad lads.
If you want to support us in other ways, we have merch and stuff. We also have a Twitter that we keep saying we're going to use.
Look, let's be honest. Twitter's on fire.
Twitter's on fire. I'm going to be real. I'm stopping tweeting on my personal account unless it's important.
Yeah.
I'm done as far as personal Twitter goes. I will keep the podcast Twitter going. And if people want to engage, we are available and I will engage, absolutely. But I don't know what's going on with social media right now. So,
yeah, it's fine. You know? It's fine. We'll still be producing episodes. We haven't stopped. We're not quitting. We just had a bit of a bump in terms of technological and busyness.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with kind of the November-December section is that prepping for Christmas and then the beginning of 2023, especially in business. turns out I got a lot of work to do. Nobody told me. What the hell is with this? Anyway, we're back. Mostly.
We're back.
And we'll be back next week with Deck of Many Things Part 2.
Ooh.
I know, right? I'm very excited.
I've been Glaive / Danny / whatever the heck you want to call me.
And I've been V / Fella / Rin / Three Dogs in a Trench Coat. Woof, woof, woof. Nailed it. Got it that time.
Heck yeah.
Scuffed it up at the beginning.
And until next week, bye.